Via On Track neemt je mee backstage. Ja, een hele goede avond. Ik neem je af en toe mee de kleedkamers in. Echt waar het zweet nog van de muren loopt. Of richting de kantoren waar de programmeurs en de boekers zitten. Belangrijke mensen uit de muziekindustrie. Of gewoon de studio in bij de muzikant. Thuis wil ik bijna zeggen, tweede thuis. Voor een blik achter de schermen. Zo'n een kijkje in het hoofd van de muzikant zelf of de mensen eromheen. En dit keer deed ik dat letterlijk in de kleedkamer van de AFAS Live. Want het vonden vorig jaar nog Pinkpop, bracht in de zomer een tweede album Palo Santo uit. Years and Years. Gisteravond een show in Amsterdam, in de AFAS Live. En ik sprak de voltallige band, Orly, Mikey en Emre, vlak voor hun show. En het ging vooral eigenlijk over de verwachtingen van het tweede album. Dat is als artiest extra moeilijk. Zeker voor Years and Years, die waren echt super succesvol. Stonden ook in bijvoorbeeld die BBC Sound of lijst. Dus ja, kom maar op met die tweede plaat. Iedereen heeft hoge spannen verwachtingen. En ik vroeg eigenlijk aan hen of zij er zelf last van hadden toen ze de studio ingingen om die nieuwe plaat te maken.
Ja, it was definitely a challenge to like follow up from our first album, because obviously we were in a good position because we had done well, but then, you know, it was like, oh gosh, I didn't quite realize how it would feel trying to, you know, recreate it or to try and better it, because that's like what, you know, that's what people want, that's what your label wants. And so it was kind of challenging, but then I'm always of the opinion that if you just keep going, you eventually get somewhere, and that's kind of how it happened in the end. We just like kept going, and in the end it fell into place. And I think hopefully second albums are always difficult. They just are, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to suffer.
Yeah, so could you explain how it is to be in a studio and to have those expectations somewhere in your mind, or maybe the things you read online or what the label or the other people are saying about the music?
I mean, everyone deals with it or thinks about it or feels about it differently. Mm-hmm. And I think three of us probably feel differently about it. I personally, I don't give a shit about what the label think or what anyone thinks. And that may or may not be some sort of self-defense mechanism, but I don't think it is anymore. I think I really don't care about what anyone thinks. I just want to do what I want to do. But you've got to balance that, obviously, because you don't want to disappear up your own ass. But I think for Oli, especially given that he's the focal point of all of this, is that it's going to be different, and it's easier for me to not care about what the label thinks or whatever. But I think you take it more on your shoulders, what people think, and you know, that sort of thing. It's a personality thing, I think. But yeah, Mikey and I are a bit more lucky because, like I said, Oli takes the focus, and that means, like, sometimes when I'm looking at, sometimes when I'm looking at the crowd, everyone's just like staring that way, and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't necessarily have to worry 24/7.
I'm doing this all the time.
Yes. Look at me.
Yeah. Also, like the secret signs that if you're like, oh, something's going wrong.
Literally, that's exactly what it feels like sometimes. Like tap dancing to try and distract everyone.